Ephesians. We'll be looking at the book of Ephesians, this Pauline epistle, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. The message this morning is entitled, A Line in the Sand. It's really the first message of a two-part series, and today we'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 17. And here in the book of Ephesians, Paul the Apostle is writing to the Christians at Ephesus, but his message is applicable to believers, to you and I, to the church today. Here he is instructing them in the faith, and in chapter 6, he is preparing them for the days ahead. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, please stand and join me in the reading of God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Word says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father, bless your word. Speak to us. Challenge us this morning with the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. For centuries, men have beat the drums of war and have marched onward to battle, and that is a fact that to this day has not changed. But what has changed is the technology that has evolved and developed over time. Today's armies have an impressive array of technology at their disposal, but from the ancient times to present day, one thing that has not changed is that soldiers have donned themselves in armor of one form or another, meant to protect them and aid them toward a victory. And though their armor has not changed, the principle behind it has not changed, and that is to shield them from harm and to help them gain a victory in the battle. Well, what does that have to do with us today as the church? Well, as Christians this morning, we must realize that we too are engaged in an ongoing battle. We too are engaged in the ongoing struggles of this life, and our battles take place not on a physical battlefield, a conventional battlefield. Instead, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. We are engaged in spiritual warfare, the Word tells us, and that sort of fight takes place in the heart and in the mind, and its stakes are far higher than we could ever comprehend. We see this morning from the Word that we're to put on the whole armor of God to shield us from the spiritual battles that we're to face. So how can we prepare ourselves for those battles, those spiritual battles that lie ahead, that lie in wait for tomorrow or the next day to ambush us and attack us spiritually? Well, in order to prepare for the spiritual battle, Ephesians chapter 6 here tells us to put on the full armor, the whole armor, the complete armor of God. In verse 10 through 13 here in our passage, tells us that we are to fight the good fight. That we are to fight the good fight if we are to gain a victory in our lives spiritually, so that we can proclaim, as Paul proclaimed, I have fought the good fight. Well, notice with me some powerful truths from this passage of Scripture this morning. First of all, we see in this passage that we are to be strong. That we're to be strong. Look at verse 10. He says, Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we're told here to be strong. In order to be strong, we must recognize what our source of strength is. Now notice the entirety of verse 10. He tells us to be strong, but notice where it is that our strength comes from. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, our strength comes from the Lord. We're told to be strong here, and if we're to be strong, then we must abide in Christ. Our strength comes from our Lord Jesus. You see, we're told to be strong because there are times in our lives when the battles ahead will become fierce. Perhaps you're in the midst of a battle. Perhaps you're in the midst of a struggle even today. The Word tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in those times. For if we're not strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, if we're not abiding in Him, if we're not walking in the Spirit, then we can be overtaken with discouragement, with disheartenment, with deceitfulness, and with sin. So we're to be strong. But notice that we're not strong in and of ourselves. Notice where our strength comes from. You see, we cannot rely on our own strength. Why? Because your own strength will fail you. Your own strength can fail you. Your own strength has limitations and boundaries, but the strength of God is infinite, has no boundaries, and will endure the struggles that we face in our lives. We cannot stand in our own strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our strength comes from Him this morning. Notice there where our strength comes. It comes from Christ. That's why Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our strength comes from Him. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The power of His might. We must be strong against our enemy, Satan, who continually wages war against us. He doesn't just attack us once, but it's an ongoing attack, an ongoing spiritual battle, an ongoing perpetual conflict between the forces of good and evil, between light and darkness, between the kingdom of God and the forces of hell. So Satan continually wages war against us, and on his battlefield, there will be no surrender. There will be no ceasefire. There will be no truce. So the Word encourages us this morning to be strong. To be strong in the Lord. But not only are we encouraged to be strong, but secondly we see that we're encouraged to put on something. To equip ourselves. To prepare ourselves. He says to put on the full armor of God. Look there at verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. So we're told here to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So, because we must recognize not only our source of strength, but we must recognize our source of protection. Our protection, our strength comes from the Lord. Our protection comes from the Lord. So not only are we told to be strong for the battles that lay ahead, but we must also be properly prepared, properly equipped as well. Here he says to put on our protective gear, to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the tricks, the wiles of the devil, stand against the weapons of his warfare. If not, we risk being dangerously exposed to the enemy. We risk being vulnerable to his spiritual attacks. Therefore, we must guard and protect our hearts and our minds with God's armor. And when we put on God's armor, as the Word says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Now, what are the pieces of God's armor? We're going to get into that specifically next week. Today, we're laying the foundation for that. Verses 14 through 17 tells us what the six pieces of God's armor are and that we are to put on in our lives. But so many of us go through life having not put on God's armor, without being spiritually protected, without being spiritually prepared. And the devil knows our weaknesses. He knows us. He's a powerful, formidable foe. That's why we must rely on God's strength to help us through. He knows our weaknesses. He comes at us through a variety of means. In this day of technology, he comes at us through the through the television, through the computer, through cell phones, through relationships, and on it goes. And he gets into our hearts and our minds, and he begins to do his damage there. He begins to deceive us. He begins to water down the truth of God's Word. He begins to work at us to discourage us, to cause us to doubt our faith, and to cause us to not fully rely upon God. Therefore, it is essential, the Word says, to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand battle ready for the Lord. But not only are we to be strong this morning, not only are we to put on the whole armor of God, but we can also see that we are to wrestle. We are to wrestle. Wrestle denotes struggle, an ongoing struggle against an opponent, against a foe. We are to wrestle. In verse 12, who is it that we are to wrestle against? For it says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So in other words, our fight is not with one another. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He tells us here to wrestle because we must recognize our enemy. If you're going to do battle, you must be able to identify your enemy. If you're going to be able to struggle, wrestle, fight against someone, then you must know who it is that you're fighting and struggling and wrestling with, and we must be able to recognize our enemy and actively struggle against him. And we know that our enemy is Satan and his forces. There are things in our lives that we must struggle against. Perhaps you're struggling against things in your life even today. There are things in our lives that we must wrestle with. And our battle is not against one another. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the prince of darkness, the prince of this world. And he is powerful, he is cunning, and he's deceptive. We must recognize our enemy, we must walk with God, and we must rely upon the Lord. You see, if the devil can deceive you into thinking that your battle is against someone else, that your battle is against a loved one, that your battle is against your spouse, that your battle is against a church member or a co-worker or family member or anyone other than him, then he begins to deceive us. He begins to get a foothold and then a stronghold in our lives. And there he begins to pull us away from one another. Divide and conquer. He begins to pull us away from others, and he begins to pull us away from the Lord. He begins to pull us from operating in the faith to operating in the Spirit to operating in the flesh. He begins to move us from viewing our problems with a proper spiritual perspective to moving us away from the things of God. Therefore, we must continually wrestle. We must continually wrestle against these notions that our problems are with one another, that our problem is with so-and-so or this person or that person. And we must recognize that the enemy wants to pit us against one another and divide us. It's the old divide and conquer strategy. He sows the seeds of discord and conflict and strife and disunity and disharmony. If he can separate the sheep from the fold, if he can separate the sheep from the safety of the presence of the shepherd, then we are in much less of a position of strength to struggle and fight and wrestle against him. You see, united we stand, as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, under the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ, united we stand, or divided we fall. And you see, as he divides us, once he begins to divide a home, once he divides a marriage, once he divides a family, our church, or a heart, then he begins to gain a victory there. So what are we to do this morning against so formidable of an enemy and so formidable of a foe? What are we to do? Then we're to keep wrestling. We're to keep struggling. We're to keep striving, keep moving toward the Lord and keep following him, lest we become a casualty to the spiritual battles that we are constantly involved in. But then we see a warning of the times. In verse 13, he tells us of the evil day. Look at verse 13. He says, wherefore, take unto you, wherefore, in other words, because of this, because of these things, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. He tells us about the evil day because we must recognize the times that we're living in. We're living in such spiritually dangerous and perilous times. We've been reminded of that stark reality even just this week, of the times that we're living in. And so many today are lulled into spiritual apathy, spiritual apostasy, and into being lukewarm into the in the Lord. And in doing so, Satan has us right where he wants us. So we must recognize that we are living in such an ungodly time. The devil knows that his time is short. He knows that his time is running out. We know that the Lord will return soon. No one knows the days nor the hour, but we know that we're living in that season. And we know that Satan, the devil, wants to destroy as many lives as possible with his remaining time that he has. The Bible warns us of a great falling away. A great falling away where Jesus said he would have to shorten the days for the very elect's sake, lest we be deceived. So we must recognize the times that we're living in. We must recognize evil as evil, and we must, as the people of God, separate ourselves from it. And then we see that, notice he repeats here to put on the armor of God a second time in that verse. He repeats it again, to put on the armor of God. Anytime the Bible repeats itself, it's showing strong emphasis, and we would do well to pay attention to it. We must recognize the time with urgency. Put on the armor of God. Put on the complete armor, not portions of it, not pieces of it, not the parts that are comfortable and convenient, but put on the whole armor of God, lest we be exposed to the ungodly influence of the day and risk being overtaken by it. And then he tells us to do something else here. He tells us to stand. You know, taking a stand for something can be a hard thing to do, but we're to stand even if we're the only one standing. We are to stand, and we are to stand for God. Look at verse 13. He says to stand, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is important because we must recognize as believers what our posture should be. What should our position be? We are to stand on our convictions. We are to stand on the truth of God's Word. We are to stand on the reality of who Jesus Christ is. There are some things worth standing for in this life. You know, we can find ground to compromise on and be flexible on, but there are some things. The truth of God is uncompromising. And we must stand on God's truth and not compromise our religious convictions. You know, you've heard the old saying, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. We must stand on the truth of God's Word. He tells us here to stand. To stand against what? To stand against the onslaught of evil influence that is around us, and stand for Christ and be the salt and light that He's called us to be. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. And we as the church are to shine the light of Christ into a world that is growing increasingly darker day by day. And we must never compromise our faith. And we must never compromise our religious convictions. The Bible warns of a downward spiral in morality among humanity over time. And we are seeing its effects day by day. So we must settle in our hearts to clothe ourselves in God's armor and to resist evil, resist the devil, and stand for truth, stand for righteousness, and stand for Christ our Lord. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll what? He'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Remember, our strength comes from him. We are to stand in his strength. So we see this morning that there are some things worth standing for. The forefathers of our great nation took a stand. They stood for something bigger than themselves. They took a stand and they fought, and many died so that later generations, so that you and I, so that the church of today could stand for Christ as well. And we must do the same for ourselves and for future generations. For if we don't take a stand against evil, then it will continue to creep in and overtake our lives. Someone once said that the only thing required for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. We must recognize this morning that we are engaged in an ongoing spiritual battle. And our challenge is to not to let the devil take us, gain a stronghold in our lives, in our homes, in our hearts, and in our minds, and in our places of worship. That we must protect our hearts and minds by putting on God's armor and hold the line and draw a line in the sand and stand for Christ in order to gain a victory through Jesus our Lord. Again, he tells us there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, bless your word this morning. Lord, have your will and your way in this time of invitation and in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, encourage us and embolden us by your holy presence and your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, have your will in your way. Speak to our hearts and challenge us. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.